Begin the current daf, Mesechta Sanhedrin daf Samach Tes. Begin the fourth line down at the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, which opened up the eighth parak of Mesechta Sanhedrin, parak ben Tzeremer. And Rav Chisda said a halacha in this regard. He said that if a minor gave birth to a child, then that child can never become a ben Tzeremer. Why? Because the pasuk says, Ki Ish ben. If a man, an adult, who's over 13, has a son, then that son can be ben Tzeremer. But v'loy leben ben, but if a son, if a child himself has a child, then that child cannot be ben Tzeremer. Which is obvious, Rav Chisda holds that a child, a minor, can have his own child. Which the Gemara said disagrees with Rav Chisda, disagrees with Rabba, because Rabba held that a child cannot have a child. How does he know that? From a pasuk Bamidbar that says, regarding if someone had stolen something from somebody, and then he lied, he swore, and then he admits he has to give back the principal. So it says that you have to give it back to him. If he's dead, give it back to a relative of his. If he has no gold, no relatives, then you give it to the kohen. And the question is, no relative? Every Jew is related somehow, going all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. Rather, it must be talking about what's called Gezel Hager, a convert who has no prior relationships. He's like a brand new child, unless if he has his own children who are related to him from when he became Jewish. And that said, Rabbu, that's what the pasuk says, V'im ein le'ish goyel, and if the ish does not have a redeemer. What do you mean, an if? And what does it mean, only le'ish? Because only a man that's 13, then you have to check, does he have a redeemer, does he not? Because from when he converted, he could have had children or not. But if he's not an ish, but rather if he's a cotton, then you don't have to check, because you know he does not have a redeemer. Why? Because Rabbah holds that a child himself cannot have his own children. So that was Machlekes Rabbah and Rav Chisda. Now that the Gemara continues asking on Rabbah who holds that a child cannot have a child, Eitzv Abaya. Abaya asks from the following braisa. Pasuk says a meikra ish, a man. And this is in the context of what's known as the shivcha harufa, the maidservant who's designated to be have a relationship, a monogamous relationship with the man's own slave. It says in the pasuk in meikra yotes veish ki ishka v'isha shivcha zer. If a man will have relations with that maidservant who's designated for the slave, he has a certain halacha, a certain penalty. Now ainli ela ish. So says the brayis. I would only know if it's a man that will lay with the shivcha harufa. Ben Tesh, Shana B'yamecha, Chiro, L'B'yaminayin. How do we know the same thing would apply to a 9-year-old that is already, his relations are considered Bia? Tamalem V'ish, that's what it says, and a man to say that applies even to a 9-year-old. So one thing you see is that a 9-year-old could have Shechva Zera, could have semen to have inseminate a woman to have a child. Which is not like Rabbah, who said that a child under the age of 13 or 2 pubic years cannot have his own child. So Rabbi responded to Abaye, he says, no, Yeshloi, he has Shechva Zera, he has semen Ve'ina Meilet, but he cannot come to fruition and have a child. Ketvu Ashloi Hevi Ashlishtam, it's just like grain, which has not yet matured a third of its growth. Where if you would take that seed and plant it, it would not sprout. So there's seed, but it wouldn't sprout. That's exactly the mashal, the parable regarding over here, regarding creating children. He cannot have a child if he himself is not yet an adult. So to the Bechizkiah Tan, it was taught in the Brayis of the Yeshiva of Chizkiah, the Pasuk says in Shemais, V'chiyazir ish, if a man will be deliberate, which there the Pasuk is actually talking about having murdered someone. Now, but from the fact that the terminology is used of mazid, and it doesn't say the simpler terminology of chiyarshia ish, if a man will be wicked, because it wants to expound and tell you that the term of mazid, which as we'll see shortly is a term of bishul, of cooking, of fermenting, which fertilizing, applies only to an ish, which ish mezid umezri, only a man could be cooking and fertilizing the seed, which could then produce a child, but a minor cannot go ahead and cook and fertilize. On that asked Gemara, Omle Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi, my mashma the high mezid lishan to bishulihu, where do we ever find that the term mezid, which in that pasuk is actually translated as deliberate, that it's a terminology which is alluding to of cooking. So it's the Gemara, the Chzib, because it says the pasuk in Bereishis, Vayozid Yaakov Nozid, which is by the famous story with Esav, he was cooking the red lentils, that he cooked the cooked dish. Vayozid is a term of cooking, and that's what's alluding, that only an adult could cook the seed to fertilize and create a child. But the Gemara continues asking on Rabbah, who holds that a minor cannot have his own child, but Vatanad Be'er Bishmal, it was told in the Brice in the Yeshiva of Bishmal, that there's a pasuk in Devarim regarding the Ben Sarir Meir, that it calls him a ben, a son that's wayward and rebellious. Which teaches us, says the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, v'loy av, but not a father. Now the assumption of the Gemara right now is what it's excluding is a son that already became that had his own child, that meaning that he himself is a father, he can't become any more ben sarah mer. Now, that's where the question begins. But if you're saying, like Rabbah, that a minor cannot give birth to a child, say, hey, Chadami, what would this case of the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel be talking about that we would have to exclude it and say that even though he's a ben sarah mer, but since he's also a father, then he cannot be qualified in the punishment of ben sarah mer? And that is, if you're going to say that he impregnated the child's mother when Buster the icy Shtei Cyrus from after that he had already brought two pubic hairs, and then there was a delay of the 9 month of pregnancy, and then it could be within the time frame, as we mentioned in the Mishnah previous stuff, the time frame Ben Sarimur has to be that from when he had two Cyrus up until at last, till when their hair circles around the male member. And that's what the Pasuk would be excluding and saying that although he still qualifies to be Ben Sarimur, he'd be excluded, he'd be exempt because he gave birth to his own son himself. On that, asked the Gemara, Mika Shois Kul Hai, but is there really such a long delay of time between when he could start having children, which is seemingly only when he's an adult, and that's the point we're going to ask on, when they brought two sires, up until when the hero circles around, which is for a period of 9 months, it'll already have given birth when he's still in the time frame of Ben Sarim Mar. But V'am Reb Chris Bedoy says, Kol Yomav Shel Ben Sarim Mar, he says, the whole entire time period of a Ben Sarim Mar, Eine L'Gimel Chadosh Mavad, is only for a time period of 3 months. Meaning, even though the hair has not totally circled around his pubic area, he does not become a Ben Sarimur after 3 months, after he had already brought two pubic hairs. Now, although the Gemara does not now clarify the reasoning for Reb Chris Bedoy, later on the Gemara does. However, one thing is that we definitely would not need a pasuk to exclude, even if he's not a father, he would still be excluded because already after 3 months. So what would this case be talking about with the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel? Elalav, rather, says the Gemara, must be that when did we have to exclude this case? For example, if he had given birth before, if he had given birth before the 3 months after the two sires. How so? Obviously, the Yaber, that he impregnated the woman 6 months, Mekmei Delaisa Shtei Cyrus, before he had brought two pubic hairs, V'oilid Mekamei Delekev Zaken, and then he's going to be giving birth, this father, before the hair surrounds his lower pubic area. And also that the 3 months have not yet passed from when he brought two sires. And therefore, obviously, from this halacha, it must be that a minor could have a seed that will fertilize and create a child, because the only possibility of excluding the case of a ben sarim mer, who's only within the time frame of 3 months after he had two sires, only then could he be any ben sarim mer. You're excluding that even though he's in that time frame, but he's already a father. Father, how did he give birth 2 months after he brought two sires? Must have been because he impregnated this woman 9 months earlier, which is 6 months or 7 months, whatever it is, before he brought two sires. Well, then he was a minor. Ah, you see that a cotton could be milded even as a cotton. Says the Gemara, no, doesn't contradict Rabbah. La'olam di'aber basa da'isish de'isires. The truth is that he impregnated the woman after he already brought two pubic hairs. A minor cannot impregnate a woman that will fertilize into a child. It was after he brought two sires. And then, of course, va'ilid basa da'akav zaken. And then, yes, the child was born after this ben sarimur, this wayward individual, had already had the whole zaken hatachdan already encircled. Now, this to Rabbi Shmuel then, however, was coming to exclude ben v'loy av, was not talking about when he gave birth to the mother when he was himself a son. No, you're right. For that situation, he would be exempt from the halachas of ben sarimur, either because 3 months has already passed, or because there already was hikiv zaken hatachdan. Or the kakasha, the Reb Chris Bedoy, but then the question was, well then, what do we do with Reb Chris Bedoy's halacha? He said that you don't need to exclude anything beyond 3 months anyways, because the time, the statute of limitations regarding executing the Ben Zaymer has already passed. So when would this case be of Ben V'loy Av? If you say anyways he could only become a father, and only start fathering, after he has two Cyrus, which is going to be at least 9 months later. Says the Gemara, Kiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came and explained that this halacha of the Braisa of Beir Bishmol was actually coming to teach this exact halacha of Reb Chris Bedoy, not the way we had assumed up until then of Ben V'loy Av. The way the halacha is talking about is, if someone had 3 months that passed after he brought two Cyrus, which is the halacha of Krasim Dai, that's what the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel is coming to teach, that he's going to be Pater. Because Amir ben Merava, they explain in Eretz Yisrael in the West, Ben, when it says in the Pasuk that he's a Ben Sarimar, is V'loi Haro L'Kreisei Av, and that he's not yet fit to be called the father, which is 3 months after he brought to Osiris. Because it's at that point, if he impregnated the woman exactly when he brought to Osiris, which 3 months later, then the fetus could already be recognized in the womb of the woman. So if he did and right away made her pregnant, 3 months later is when this Ro'ol Krasi Av, that's Ben, Beloy Av, that is actually the halacha of Kris Bedoy, and that's what's the source for that halacha is being learned out from the Beit Bishmol of Ben Beloy Av, which is a statute of 3 months, and therefore that has nothing to do with Rabbah. Yeah, of course, to actually have the child being born, of being a real father, that would be much later, and that, of course, would have to exclude, we're talking about even Ro'ol Yisav is being excluded, which is the limitation of 3 months. Now, Gufa, the Gemara quotes that Halacha and asks, Amr b'Kredis b'Doi, Amr b'Shabsai. He says, Kol Yomav Shal Ben Serimar, all the days of the Ben Serimar, Eina Ele Gimach Hadash Mavad, is only for a period of 3 months. Now, that the Gemara asks, but Va'anantan, we learned in our Mishnah in the previous Daaf, that says, what's this, the time frame of being a Ben Serimar? Is Mishyavish Deisai, when he brings two pubic hairs, Va'atshe Yaakov Zakin, and until the hair circles around his lower region. But he's not going to be exempt just after 3 months. That could take longer than 3 months. So how could Rabbi Kris B'Doi say that the limitation is only up to 3 months when our Mishnah says a different time frame? Says Gemara, they're both true. Hikiv Zakin, our Mishnah is telling you that if the hair surrounds on the lower area, that is going to be an exemption. Afakav delay mol gimach hadashim, even though it's not yet been 3 months from when he brought two hairs, meaning even if it was quick to mature in that area, it's going to be an exemption. And what Rabbi Kris B'Doi was teaching was, Mol Gimel Chadashim, it's already been 3 months after Shtei Cyrus, Avakav Delay Hikif, even though the hair is not surrounded, which and that halacha of Rabbi Kris B'Doi, again, we know from the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, which tells us, Ben, B'Loi Haro Liyasav. Now, Yosef Rabbi Yaakov in the Har Pakoid Kamed Ravina, the Yosef Ka'ama Meshmed Rav Hun Bredi Vishu, so he was sitting in front of Ravina, and he was saying over teaching from Rav Hun Bredi Vishu as follows. One thing that we can infer from this teaching of Rabbi Kris B'Doi is from the fact that he didn't call this Ben Sarimur a role of fit to be called the father, which is that we said is the time when one recognizes the woman being pregnant until 3 months after, meaning if he impregnated her the moment that he had Shtei Cyrus. What you can infer from there is that even if you led this Lashiva, even if his wife ended up giving birth after 7 months, in Talmudic terminology, there's two types of births. There's full pregnancy of 9 months and there's a shorter pregnancy, that of 7 months. So that he says, but even if a woman gives birth after 7 months, ein uber nikra lish lishimel. In that situation, although we're saying for a full-term pregnancy, which is 9 months, we say a third of that is when the fetus is recognizable. Obviously, when the woman gives birth after 7 months, it's in that case, it's not going to be that the fetus is going to be recognizable a third of her, meaning after our first trimester, it's not going to be recognizable in all situations less than 3 months. Why? Because if you would say that it's a general concept in that proportion, that a fetus is always recognizable a third of the pregnancy through, so why would I need 3 months to exempt the Ben Sarimar to say that's it, he can't be Ben Sarimar anymore? Betray Vatilsa Sagi, it should be enough for 2 1/3 months, because at that point on, he should be exempt from Ben Sarimar because he's already royally Kreisa Av, he's fit to be called a father. In the sense, if she would be giving birth after 7 months, it would already be now that he's fit to, it would have been recognizable. Which the ramification halacha would be for a woman, if she did not delay 3 months after her marriage to her first husband, and she got married and she became pregnant, which then we're not clear if the fetus is from the first husband or from the second husband, if the fetus would be recognizable 2 months and a third from when she married the second man, based on what we're inferring, it would most definitely be from the first husband, because even if she's ultimately going to give birth after 7 months, we're saying that, no, it wasn't nikar l'shlish yemeah, because we're saying it's not based on that. It's based on a period of 3 months, because if it was a third, then we should go ahead and exempt him after 2 1/3 months, because it's roli isav if she's going to give birth after 7 months. So obviously, it's not based on a third. It's obviously based on a period of 3 months. On that Omalei, that Ravina rejected this teaching of Rav Hun Bredi Bishu. He says, no, Loyal Emalach Ubra Nikola Shoshime. I would tell you that no, depending on the pregnancy, the fetus is recognizable a third of the way through. But zilbasaruba. The reason why we say it in the term of 3 months, not also even two and a third, is because we go based on the majority. And that's why we're not going to exempt every person from being a ben seri meir 2 and 1/3 months through after he brought two Cyrus, because that's not called rolius av. Because we go after the majority of women who give birth after 9 months, and the majority of women, their fetuses are not recognizable less than 3 months through. Now, amru kamed rav huna b'rei d'Rishua. Now, they said over this rejection of the teaching of rav huna, of that Ravina had said, back in front of rav huna b'rei d'Rishua. So amalahu, he said to them, asking the following question on Ravina. How can you say that? By capital punishment, do we go based on laws of majority? Which this is regarding capital punishment. We're going to kill the ben sari mar if he's already more than 2 and 1/3 months through, but not 3 months. You're saying because majority of cannot be roel ezav. But hatayra amr, but the Torah says in Bamidba b'shaftu eidah v'tzilu eidah, that the assembly should judge and the assembly should save. Which that's the halacha that teaches us that they have to try to find merit to save the individual at all, at whatever it takes. Now, we could go ahead and save this ben sari mar for this reasoning by saying that he's fit to be a father if his wife that he's impregnated would give birth after 7 months, after already 2 and 1/3 months. Va'at amrit zil bas ruba, and you say that we should go after the majority and not exempt him until he's fit to be a father by a woman that gives birth after 9 months, like most women? How can you say that when the laws of majority, we don't go after that? We find any which way to save a person, even if it's a challenge. So why would we go after the majorities? Sadru kamed Ravina, they went and brought Rav Huna's response back to Ravina. And Omalahem, he said to them, what? Ubedinna fashas lawyers in Basrubi? He says, what do you think? Like Rav Huna had said that by capital punishment we don't go after the law of the majority? It's not correct. We do go after even bedinna fashas, and therefore my rejection is correct. Because what's not? We learned the Mishnah that we brought on Daf Mem and Alf that says, Echad Oymen Bishnayim B'chedish. Regarding witnesses are trying to prosecute and someone regarding the death penalty, and one says that it was the second day of the month. Echad Oymen Gimel, one says it was the third day of the month. Says the Mishnah, Edusin Kayemis. Their testimony is valid. Why? One said the second day of the month, one said the third day, contradict. Is no, Shazay Yedea B'Yibur Shel Chedish, because this witness knew about that the month that passed was what's called a Chedish Mali. That they extended the month one more day, and Rish Chedish was not on day 30, but rather on day 31. Bezeh, whereas the other witness who says that it was the third day of the month, Ein Yedeh, he didn't know. He thought that the previous month was like a regular month, which was Chaser, which is only 29 days, and they made Rish Chedish on day 30. And that's why it's not a contradiction, because it was an innocent mistake. But they really took him on the same day. That asks Ravina to them, and if you would entertain like Ravina wanted to say, that Bedin Nefashis, we don't go after the laws of majority, which in this case, that the majority of men, that people tend to make that error regarding when was Rish Chedish, because they didn't know was it a regular month that they extended? So then why would we combine their testimony and kill this individual? But Neima, we should say that no, they didn't make a mistake. Rather, Hani Dafka Komasadi, that they specifically said their testimony. He specifically said day 3, and he said specifically day 2, and therefore they're not both saying regarding the same day, Vakushihud Kamakshia Dodi, and therefore they're contradicting each other. Allah, rather, isn't it? Says Ravina, Mishum Damrina, Zilbas Rub, we do say go after the majority, even by Din Nefashas. And the majority of people tend to make mistakes regarding when was the day of Rish Chedish, and therefore, again, my rejection of Rav Huna was correct, because it could be we do go after the third of the pregnancy, which would be 2 and 1/3. However, regarding Ben Saimar, we go after 3, because we go after the laws of majority, even regarding Din Nefashas. And Omer Yimim Redifti, he also says, Afanana Metanina, we also learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, like this idea that Ravina was rejecting by saying that we do go after the majorities, even regarding to executing somebody. How so? Because the Mishnah says in Masechtas Nida as follows. It qualifies the halachas of a bas shalosh shanim v'yom echad, a girl that's 3 years and 1 day old. So that you have the following halachas that apply only because she's over 3 years old. First of all, miskadesh is bebia. She can become engaged with an act of cohabitation. In other words, if her father gives her over to a certain man and he gives her the rights for the purposes of kiddushin, so then he could be mekadesha with bia. But this is only if her father was giving over her marriage, because if she was doing this by herself, then a minor, even over the age of 3, has no kin of kiddushin. It's referring if her father gives her over, then she could become engaged with one of the 3 ways is with bia. Her bia is considered bia, cohabitation, when she's over 3 years old. Moreover, vimbala yavam, if let's say she was married to a man who died without any children. Her brother-in-law, the Yavam, could have be with her and cannot. And through that, he acquires her to inherit her, to be able to become tummy to her. And also, if let's say he doesn't want to be married to her anymore, he doesn't have to do chalit, so he could just give her a get, as long as her father receives the get from the Yavam. Moreover, there's also liability, and again, all these halachas are related to the concept of that her bia is a bia, which is only because she's over three, under three, it's not even like an act of bia, just like touching her. It's only considered cohabitation relations when she's over three. There, moreover, there's going to be a liability of having relations with her because she's a married woman. And that is, if her father accepts her kedushin from one man and another man has bia with her, he's chayiv misa because of eshes ish. Moreover, metame is boyala. She transmits tumah to a man that has bia with her if she's in her state of nida of menstruation, which that gives the boil nida, the halacha of letame mishkav hatachtin ke'elyin, which transmits tame to his lower mattresses, lower things that he's laying on, as the halacha of by a nida herself, what's on top of her. Which already explained this concept in the Nehema Beis, which is that the lower part of the boil nida will have the same halacha as what's the nida herself, or the zav, what's on top of them. Which is that by a regular zav or nida, they transmit a higher level of tumah to what's beneath them to then what's on top of them. So the boil nida, what below him, will have the same halacha since he's a lower status than the nida herself, or the zav themselves, since he's only a secondary, will have the halacha of what's ke'el yonish al zav, which is that it transmits tumah to food and drinks even if he didn't touch that lower bed, because as long as he laid on it, even if it's 10 mattresses below, it will have that tumah. But if let's say the girl was less than 3 years old, and the man has relations with her when she's a nida, then it's not like a boil nida. She is a nida, even a day old girl, if she has the dam nida, is a nida. But it would be like he's just touching the nida. And therefore then, if he was boiled a nida, which again does not have halacha like boil nida, just like as if he touched the nida, then the beds that he's laying on will not become tummy, even in regards to transmitting tumah to food or drink items. And even if it touched, because someone that just touches a nida only becomes a rishon l'tumah. In contrast to a boil nida has a higher lacha of avatam, he becomes only a rishon because it goes lower down when he's just touching. And it will not transmit tumah to kalim, even if he touches the kalim, because that's only from an avatam. And for sure it's not going to be metame the mishka of what he's laying on, which is not even touching him in the first place. So again, this halacha of being metame mishka betachat ke'elyon will only be if the girl that is a nida that he's having bia with is over 3 years old. Moreover, nisus l'kayin. If let's say through her father's engagement she gets married to a kayin, which the rabbanan say that a woman cannot eat truma until she enters into chuppah, so this woman, if she enters into chuppah, then achelis b'truma, she can eat the truma from her husband who's a kayin. But if she was under the age of 3, then even if she went to chuppah, she would not be able to eat the truma. Because although that an adult woman, once she enters into chuppah, even if she did not have bia, she could eat truma. Obviously, you see, it's not contingent on bia, but rather on chuppah. So why is it contingent on age 3, which is only a qualification in bia? But still, she has to be fit to at least be able to have bia. And if she can't have bia, then she can't have chuppah either. So therefore, even if this girl who's under 3 had chuppah, it's not going to be able to make her eat truma because she's not able to have bia. Moreover, ba'ala echad min apsulim. If let's say one of the invalid ones for her to be married to have relations with her, for example, a kuti, which is a type of a non-Jew, or chalal, or nasin, or mamzer, then they make her into a chalala, and then upaslam and kuna, they invalidate her from kuhuna, as the Gemara says, Nimbamastav, Samachesim et Aleph, it says, kisi lejdar, if she's going to be to a foreign man, which is when she has bia to someone that's pasal to her, it makes her pasal, and therefore she's invalidated from kuhuna. And also, Vimbola, Echad, Mekala, Arayis, Amuris, Betoy, if one of the forbidden relationships have relations with her, she's over the age of 3, Mamosnala, we kill them because of her, but Vihi Petur, she herself, she's going to be exempt because she's a minor and she's not fit to get punished. But one thing we see from this last halacha of this mission that says that we're going to create a liability, and as the earlier halacha said, because of Eishes Ish. Now the assumption is that when we're saying that we're chayiv on this woman if she's married to a man, if a man has relations with her because of Eishes Ish, it means to say that he's going to be liable for death penalty if he did it, if he did it deliberately. Now that the question is, as we continue to Amud Beis, but v'amai b'why, ema islandasi, let's say that maybe she's going to turn out to be an islandess, which is a woman that can't have children. which turns out that the man who got engaged to her was based on an erroneous assumption. He thought that she's going to be able to be the mother of his children. And when it turns out it's an analyst, it makes it into a mekach tois, a mistaken acquisition, which makes that it was never kedushin in the first place. And therefore, with that intention, he had never married her. And therefore, she's essentially not really an Eish HaSish now, because retroactively, it might be revealed that at this point in time, she's not married, and that you don't know when she's a minor, because she's not yet an adult to know if she is viable or not. El alav, rather, so why aren't you concerned that maybe she's an analyst? Because the minan zil basaru, because like Ravina had said, you go after the majority, even regarding to executing someone for having relations with her because she's an Eish HaSish. What do you mean? Maybe she's not an Eish HaSish. Because no, v'raiv nashim lam ayilnes ninu, we're not concerned that maybe she's an ayilnes, because the majority of women are not ayilnes. So you see, like Ravina had said, that this to prove this point, that you'll go even after the raiv by din afashas. Which the Gemara says, no, the Gemara rejects the proof from this Mishnah. Because my chayv aled diktani, what does the Mishnah mean when he says that you're going to be liable on this woman for Eishas Ish? It means carbon. It means if someone did it by mistake, where then there's going to be a liability of a carbon, because they would go after the majority. But regarding executing, then I would actually tell you that we wouldn't kill because of the majority. So therefore, it does not prove Ravina's halacha. But the Gemara asks, but b'mamas na yad diktani. But the Mishnah taught that we kill people for that. That's what it said at the end of the Mishnah. So how could you say it's only for karbanas? Says the Gemara, no, that halacha was said regarding if her father has relations with her. With there, the liability is not because of the marital part, it's because of the relative part. So yeah, once a girl is over three and it's considered an act of bia, with his daughter, it's going to be chayim. But regarding Eishas Ish, for example, regarding marital part, there maybe she'll be an islandess and maybe the marriage will not be a marriage, and maybe actually we would not execute because of that. But the Gemara asked, but regarding that case that we said that we're going to be mamas na yad, we're going to kill people because of it, the words were, and if one of the arayis have relations with her, it sounds like that anyone that is going to be a liability because of the marriage, for example, her father-in-law or her stepson, or any single person because of the fact that she's an Eish HaSish, any erva, any forbidden intimate relation, it says that we're going to kill. So seemingly we do kill based on the majority of most women, not arayis. Are not islandless. So Eli rather says the Gemara, if you want to reject the proof from this Mishnah to Ravina, that you should not learn the concept that you'll kill, you'll execute based on laws of majority, you could be matzchik, you could reject it by saying, Hachamayiskin, you know, what is the Mishnah Masechet Nedarim to talk about? The Kibla, where her husband accepted Ilovei on himself, that even if he's going to find her in islandless, he still desires her, and the condition is going to be condition. So essentially you could say that if it was not that type of case, that we would suspect and we would not execute because of Etzilo Eida to say to go based on laws of majority, like Rav Huna Yeshua had said. And there's no proof to Ravina, because although here seemingly we arm a Masna Yada, it's told much specifically what he accepted. So there, even if she was turned out an analyst, we would still execute, and therefore that wouldn't be a raya to the halacha of Ravina that we even kill based on laws of majority. Now the Gemara continues with the theme of the halacha. It's talking about the brisa. Hamaseleles bibno katan. If someone plays around with her minor son, which is an inappropriate type of terminology, which means that she's doing things that are regarding intimacy with her little son, the heraba, and then the son, this little boy, does hara in his mother. Which there's a machlokes in the Gemara Yevamos and the Nehemiah Beis what that means. One opinion says it's just neshika, meaning say even if it just touches both of their genital areas. And the other opinion says, and it has to be hachnas satara, is that the corona, the top part, has to enter in. But either way, the minor son did hara, beshama imrim says pasam la kuhuna. That act has now invalidated the mother from kuhuna because it makes her into a zaina. Because hara, just touching, or whatever the opinion is like the full act of cohabitation. As the Gemara says, Nivamis, Nandal Mad Aleph, and we said this earlier in the Nehayim and Aleph. Now, there's not going to be a death penalty, for example, if let's say there was no warning, but it will invalidate her from marrying a kain. But a Basil Machshir may still say, no, she is still kosher, as we will explain later on, because her son is a minor, and a minor, his act is not considered an act of Bia to make her into a Zaina. Now the Gemara qualifies the machlokes. Amr b'chia bereid the Rabbi ben Achmenu Amr Rav Chizda. Amr lan. Some say it was Amr Rav Chizda Amr Ze'iri. Hakol ma'idim. Everyone agrees. B'sham b'shil b'ben tesha shana b'yemechad. If the boy, the son, was over 9 years old, just like we were mentioning before regarding a girl that's over three or under three, the parallel regarding a boy is the age of nine. Where if he's over age of nine, definitely should be yasid bia. Everyone agree that his bia is an act of bia, and if he did hara and his mother, would invalidate her from kuna. If the boy is under the age of 8, She'im b'yasa b'ya. Everyone would agree in Beis Shammai that it's not an act of b'ya. Lo yinechleku el b'ben shemayin. Their whole machlokes was as an 8-year-old. The Beis Shammai savri, the Beis Shammai hold, gemrin and mederis rishayin, we learn from the earlier generations, which as the Gemara will later on prove, that they would give birth at the age of 8. So if we see that they are able to have children, most definitely their act is considered an act of b'ya, and therefore, if a son would do that to his mother, would turn her into a zayna. But Basil held, no, we do not learn that from earlier generations. And therefore, it's just that we know that age of 9, then his bia is a bia, but if he's age 8, his bia is not going to be considered a bia, and therefore would not disqualify his mother as a zayna. So the Gemara asks, the deris rishonim in Nolan the island. Now, where do we know that the earlier generations, they gave birth at even at age 8? So that would be the starting point. Then again, then you have a machlekes b'Shammai Basil, do we learn from them or not? But where do we know that they would give birth at the age of 8? Says the Gemara, Ilei Memedechsev, if you think to learn from a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, says, Haloi Zois Basheva. Behold, that this is Basheva, that was the woman's name, Bas Eliam, who is the daughter of Eliam. She was Eshes Uriachiti, she was the wife of Uriachiti. Now, Ksev, there's a pasuk later on that says, Eliam ben Achitofel Hagileini. Basheva's father, who was married to David, who she was the daughter of Eliam, it says, Eliam was the son of Achitofel Hagileini. Now, Ksiv, there's a pasuk earlier on that says, at the time of when Shlomo HaMelech was born, says, Vayishlach b'yad Nosna Novi, that Hashem sent through his prophet Nosan, and it says, Vayikra Shmo Yedidya, that David called the name of Shlomo Yedidya, Bavur, why? Hashem, because of Hashem, Yedid Ka, means to say the beloved of Hashem, that's how David called his son Shlomo. Now, so that was at that time. Ksiv, there's a pasuk later on that says, Vayhi l'shnasayim yam, that it was 2 years later after the birth of Shlomo. It says, that they were those who would share the animals of Avshalom. And it was at that time that Avshalom killed Amnon. Now, Ksiv, there's a pasuk later on that says, Avshalom barach, so Avshalom fled. V'yelech Geshur, he went to Geshur. V'hishem shalashom, he was there for 3 years. So that makes it for a total of, so for 5 years since Shlomo was born. Ksiv, then there's a pasuk later on that says, when he came back from Geshur, because Yoav had appeased David to have Avshalom come back, so it says, V'yishev Avshalom b'Yerushalayim shnasayim yom. So Avshalom settled, he was living there in Yerushalayim for 2 years. Upnei HaMelech le'ro, but at that, in all that time, he didn't see the face of the king, of his father. And then he rebelled. Now, Ksiv, it says later on, V'yihi miketz arbam shana, that it was at the end of the 40 years. Now, what 40 years is this talking about? It's talking about from the counting of when the Jewish people had requested a king. As the Gemara says in Temur Daf Yudal Mabez. It says, V'yoyim Avshalom al-Melech, that Avshalom said to the king, Elchana v'ashalem es nadare, let me go and fulfill my vow, asher nadati l'Hashem b'chevron, which I had vowed to Hashem in Chevron. Which, it was at that point that he went and he rebelled. And it was also in that time that Achitofel went and choked himself. Like it says later on, it says, V'achitofel ra, k'loy nasasa atzaseh. Achitofel saw that his counsel was not done, meaning he was trying to help Avshalom rebel against David, and he held that Avshalom should strike now, which he didn't, and he felt like, that's it, he knows it's not going to be successful, the rebellion. So he went and he saddled his donkey. He went to his home, to his city. He commanded his house what should be done with his affairs, and he choked himself. Now, at that point in time, Shlomo was 7 years old, as we said, that there was 2 plus 3 plus 2. Now, Ksiv, it says the pasuk in Tehillim as follows. Anshi domim umirma, men of blood and of deceit, layechtsu yimim, they don't live out half their lives. Now, how much is half their lives? The pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Tzadi, says, the days of our years are 70 years. So if wicked don't live out half their life, they don't live past the age of 35. Now, but Tanya Lent Nebraisa, that actually, kol shnois of shal doyig, all the years of doyig, who is wicked, in el shleish me'arba, are only 34. But shal ha'chatevel, who we're discussing over here, was also wicked, in el shleish me'shalash, was only 33. So explains the Gemara as follows. Kama hav yelehu, so how much were the years of Achitofel? And that's where we're going to calculate. We're plus and plus, we're only 33. Now, dal sheva de hava shleima. Now go back, if he died at age 33, and when did he choke himself, as we just illustrated before with the calculations, where Shleima was at that point 7 years old. Now remember that Achitofel had a child Eliam, who had a daughter Bathsheba, who had a child Shleima. So if you take away 7 years of when Shleima, from when he was, from how old he was when Achitofel, the great grandfather, was when he had choked himself, posh luhu estimishes. So you're left with 26 for the years of Achitofel from when Shlomo was born. Now in those 26 years, he gave birth to 3 generations: Eliam, Bathsheba, and Shlomo. So dal tarti shnei letlasi buri. Now you have to also then take away another 2 years for the three pregnancies, because in less than 8 months, it's not possible to have a child. You need at least 7 months for the pregnancy, because there's two types of pregnancies, 9 months and 7 months, so the smallest could be 7 months. And you have to believe, at least 1 month for the menstruation and the purification to then have another child. So shtakeach, the cholchad v'chad b'tam ne'elit. So for three, which is 8 times 3 is 24, that's 2 years for three pregnancies, comes out that each and every one of these people gave birth at the age of 8. Because Achitevel gave birth to Eliam when he was 8 years old and 8 months. Then you have Eliam who was born, that gave birth to Bathsheba when he was 8 years old and 8 months. And then Bathsheba gave birth to Shlomo when she was 8 years old and 8 months. And that's for a total of 26 years. Because 8 times 3 is 24, plus the 2 years of the three pregnancies, 26 years. And then you have another 7 years for 33 when he went and choked himself when Shlomo was 7 years old. So you see that Darius Hashem gave birth at 8 years old. Says the Gemara, Mimai. We didn't know this. Maybe like everyone agreed that a boy over age 9, then he's already considered his act as an act of bia. Maybe they gave birth when they were 9 years old. So how do we calculate then the gap? It's because Bathsheba was one of those people. She gave birth at the age of 6. And Mishum the Itzabari, because a woman is very healthy and robust, that she's more healthy and able to go ahead and have a seed to give birth to a child younger than that age. And Tadi, you should know this, that obviously a woman is quicker to give birth than the age of 8 and 9. To have a law, because Bathsheba had Vlad, Mikar, she even had a child before Shlema. And that's the child that's mentioned in Shmuel Beis, Perikud Beis, that the child that was born to David first, where it says that when the child died, he got up and eat bread. So therefore it's no proof, maybe they were not all 8, maybe they were 9, and Bathsheba was 6, which makes up for those discrepancy in the years. So the Gemara says, rather, we'll bring a proof from a pasuk in Bereishis. Says, Ela told us Terach, these were the children of Terach. Terach Eilat Avram, Terach gave birth to Avram, Esnachar, Vesaron, these were his three sons, Avram, Nachar, and Haran. Now, Avram, Gadlam, and Nachar, Shana. Now, again, it takes around a year to have a child. Now, if it's that order, it says Avram, Nachar, and Haran. So Avram was older than Nachar by 1 year, from the fact that it puts Avram first. The Nachar Gadlam Haran Shana, and then the next son was older than the next son by a year. So Nachar was older than Haran a year. So Nimtzer comes out, Avram Gadlam Shtei Shanim Haran, that Avram was older than Haran by 2 years. Now, except this, it says in the pasuk over there, Yikach Avram and Nachar Lehem Nashim, that Avram and Nachar, these two brothers, took wives for themselves, which it says over there that Shem Eshes Avram Sarai, the name of the wife of Avram was Sarai, but Shem Eshes Nachar Milka, and the wife of the wife, and the name of the wife of Nachar was Milka, who was Bas Haran, the daughter of Haran, which was the other brother, who Haran was Avi Milka of Avi Yiska, he was the father of Milka, which was the wife of Nachar, and the father of Yiska. So obviously we see that Yiska was the daughter of Haran. Now, Vamer B'Yitzchak, he actually says that Yiska Zusara. The other daughter of Haran was actually Sarah, which was the wife of Avram. Now, Balama Nikrishma Yiska, why was she called Yiska when I'm saying she's the daughter of Haran? She'secha b'ruach ha-kodesh, because it's from the term of seeing that she saw in the divine presence. That's what it says in the pasuk that Hashem told to Avram, "Kol asher tayim alecha Sarah, shema b'kayla." Whatever Sarah tells you, you should listen to her voice, because she sees the divine presence. She is saying a prophecy. So listen to your wife. So Rach, a different interpretation. The reason why she was called Yiska is also from the term of gazing. Shakol seichem b'yafti, because everyone would gaze at her beauty. So that's what she was called. She was Yiska. Now, it says in the pasuk that v'yipol Avram al pana v'yitzchak. Avram fell on his face and he laughed. He says in his heart, what? I'm going to go ahead and give birth at such an old age when he was told that he's going to have the son Yitzchak. Now, kama kashish Avram Yisrael, how much older was Avram than Sarah? Esther Shanim. It was 10 years. Avram was 100 and Sarah was 90. Now, v'kashish ma'avua tartan shnin. And how much older, like we said before, was Avram than Sarah, his wife's father, who was Haran? It was 2 years, as we said. Avram was a year old than Nachar and 2 years old than Haran. Ishtakeach, he old the Haran, Sarah. So it turns out that when Haran gave birth to Sarah, Bitam near Lida, he was 8 years old. Because that's what he said, he was 10 years older than his wife, and he was 2 years older than the brother. So it turns out that he was 2 years older than Haran. That means to say that Haran was 8 years old when he gave birth to Sarah. Well, that's his Gemara Mimai. How do you know that? Dilma Avram Zuta Dachuhava. Maybe Avram was actually the smallest, the youngest of the brothers, and Haran was older than him. So therefore, when he gave birth to Sarah, he could have been older than that. However, when it counts them in the order of Ram, Nachar, Haran, it wasn't talking in the order of birth, it's talking in the order of wisdom. Teda, the Kachashim, the Ukra Dechmachachmasin, says that actually you should know that the Pasuk does count people in the order of how sagacious they are and not necessarily in the order of their age. Just sort of like there's a Pasuk that says, Behi Noach ben Chomish Meyeshana, that Noach was 500 years old, meaning after they was 500 years old, he started giving birth to his three sons. Noach gave birth to Eshem, Eschom, Vesyophis. Now, if you would read it as we have assumed originally that it's in the order of age, so Shem Kadl Mecham Shana, it would turn out that Shem was older than Cham by 1 year, but Cham Kadl Meyophis and Cham was older than Yephis by 1 year. Nimtza Shem Kadl Meyophis, that would come out that Shem was 2 years older than Yephis. Now, but Uksiv, there's a pasuk that says, V'noyech ben Sheish Meishon, and Noyech was 600 years old. V'hamabel hoi maim al aretz, and the mabel, the flood was water on the earth. Uksiv, and it says, Elo tal de Shem, these were the children of Shem. Shem ben Ma'ashon, Shem was 100 years old. V'yel es ha-pachshad, Shenasei Ma'chamabel, gave birth to ha-pachshad 2 years after the mabel. Now the question is, Ben Meishon, was he 100 years old at that time, 2 years after the Mabel? But Bar Meya V'Tarkin Shnin Hava, based on what we said before, he should be 102. Because since he was the oldest of all of them, turns out that right when Noach turned 500 years old, then he had given birth to Shem. And when the Mabel came down, then Shem was 100 years old. So 2 years after the flood, he should have been 102, not 100. Or rather, what you could infer from this is actually that Shem was the youngest of all the brothers. And actually, when his father was 502 is when Shem was born. And Derech Chachmas and Kachashavlo, and he's only counting them in the Pasuk, the way the Pasuk is writing it, is in the ways of wisdom. And in wisdom, Shem was the first, but not in age. So, Achanami, Derech Chachmas and Kachashavlo, therefore we reject the proof. He wrote about Avram Avinu, he was actually the youngest of the three, and was just counting the order of wisdom, and that's where it says Avram first, and therefore there's no raya that Haran was 8 years old when he gave birth to Sarah. Now, Amrav Kahane, he says, Amritla Shmaita Kamedra of Zvid Min Arda. I said over this last teaching in front of Rav Zvid Min Arda, and Amali, he told me, Atun Mehocha Masnitu, it's from that pasuk that you learn to reject the previous proof to show that it was that Shem was not the oldest and it was only said in the order of Chachma. Vanan Mehocha Masnitu, but we have a different pasuk to prove that Shem was not the oldest. Because it says in the pasuk, L'Shem Yulad Gamhu, that for Shem it was also born to him too, Avi Kol B'nei Aver, the father of all the sons of Aver, Achi Yefes HaGadol, the brother of Yefes the older, which tells us Yefes HaGadol Sheba'achav Hayah, that Hava, that actually Yefes was the oldest of the brothers. So, but then why is it Shem Chom and Yefes? Is because it wasn't in the order of age, but rather in the order of wisdom. And again, therefore, there's no proof that Haran was the oldest, was the youngest, and to say that he gave birth at age 8, maybe Avram was the youngest, and it was only Derech Chachma. So it says the Gemara, so where do we know then this concept that we're saying that Darius Rishonim gave birth at age 8? So the Gemara Mahacha, it's from here, from a pasuk in Shemais. It says, Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur lemat Yehuda. Betzalel, who is the son of Uri, who is the grandson of Chur to the tribe of Yehuda, he was the one that was busy putting together the Mishkan. Now there's a pasuk in Devar Yomim Aleph that says, "Vatamas Azuba," that Azuba passed away. The Yikach leKolev es Ephras, and Kolev went and then took for himself a wife, Ephras. Vatayla leYeschur, and she gave birth to him Chur. So we see that Chur was the son of Kolev, and Betzal was a third generation to Chur, because Betzal was Betzal ben Uri ben Chur, and that was the son of Kolev. Now v'chi Ovid Betzal Mishkan, when Betzal made the Mishkan, Bar Kama Hava, how old was he? Bartz Leiser, he was 13 years old. Because the pasuk says in Shemais, Ish Malachta Ashehim Oisim. Every man from the work which they did, which is that we see that the Torah called him Ish Malachta, and the word Ish connotes 13 years old. Now, Betani will learn the Brisa Shanarishayin, the Asa Moshe Mishkan. It was in the first year that when they were in the 40 years in the desert, that Moshe Rabbeinu had made the Mishkan. Now, Shni, in the second year, Hakim Mishkan is when he finally put it up. Vishalich Meragam, and in that same year, he went and sent the Meraglim, the spies, to spy at Eretz Yisrael, which at that point, then Betzal was already 14 years old, because the first year when he was putting it together was he was 13. The next year he was 14, which was the year when the Meraglim was sent out. Now, Uksiv, there's a pasuk in Sefer Yeshua that says, Ben Arbam Shana Anoichi, I was 40 years old, says Kalev, B'shalach Moshe Ever Hashem Agoymo, and Moshe Benu, the servant of Hashem, sent out the spies, which he was part of them, but did not join in their conspiracy. Va'ata, now says Kalev, Hine Anoichi Ayem Ben Chamish V'Shemayim Shana, now I am 85 years old. So Kama Havlu, so again, so now the Gemara goes into the calculation, so how old was, to figure out the age of how old each one was when they gave birth, How old was Kalev when he was sent by the Meraglim in the second year? As the Pazik said, Rabban, he said he was 40 years old. Now, Dalar base is the Hav Bitzal. So you have to take away the 40 years, the 14 years, how old his great-grandchild Bitzal was at the time of when he was 40, to calculate the age of when Bitzal was born. So Pashlu Es Meshis, so you mean that he was 26 when his great-grandchild Bitzal was born. Now, moreover, Dal Tarti Shnei Detlasi Bur, you also have to take away the 2 years of the three pregnancies to say that, to calculate that in, that how long it takes to then have the next child. Ishtakech, the Cholchad V'chad, B'tam Ne'ele, as we said before, it comes out that each and every one gave birth at the age of 8, which is that Kalev was 8 when he gave birth to Chur, and Chur was 8 when they gave birth to Uri, and Uri was 8 when they gave birth to Bitzal, and that will factor in for those 24, 26 years to figure out that, yeah, in the early generations, he gave birth at the age of 8. And again, that's Mochegis B'Sham Mesil, is do we learn from the earlier generations of B'Sham Mesil? We do, and therefore from 8 or 8, we consider his act to act of Bia, whereas Mesil holds no, and is only from the age of 9. Now, the Mishnah said that Ben, the Torah says, Ben Sermer, V'loi Bas, however, daughter, although she does all these activities, these reckless behaviors like the boy, she does not get punished for the halacha Ben Sermer. Now, Tanya Linda, Bryce, Amr, Shimon, he says, Bedinhu, logic would dictate, Shetehe Bas Rui, Elias, Ben Sermer, that a daughter should also be fit to be judged and executed based on the laws of Ben Sermer, the wayward and rebellious son. And the reason for that, as we continue to have Ayinim and Alpha, Shakol Mitzuyin Etz Labaveh, because actually everyone is found by that type of a girl in sin. Because when she's a guzzler and someone that's partaking from all these problematic behaviors when she's a minor, ultimately she's not going to find her needs, her fixes, and she's going to go by the crossroads and she's going to accustom people to sin with her in exchange for acts of relations to get the things that she needs. And therefore, for sure, she's going to become a sinner and deserving of death. Alexeres Akasavi, but it is the decree of the Torah that says, Ben Bleibas. It's known as Alexeres Akasavi. That's what Hashem said, that it's only a son and not a daughter. So the logic would dictate yes, but the Torah says that no.